الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. I'd like to start the khutbah inshallah by congratulating every and each one of you about the end of the month of Ramadan. And we need to reflect on the month of Ramadan. And alhamdulillah, I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our siyam and our qiyam and our zikr. And inshallah will reward us and help us to be a better person. We need just to take decision. The last khutbah that I gave, it was, I left the khutbah with a question. And the question was very clear. Is the month of Ramadan a month or a state? No one can answer that question but you. I have to answer it for myself and solo you. If it is month, we know that it is coming after the month of Sha'ban and the end in the beginning of Shawwal. And after that, everything go back to normal. Or if it is a TU state, that means it is a milestone, one new chance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us out of His mercy. كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. You may acquire piety. Allah ordained fasting on us so we may acquire piety. Purify ourselves and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is a state, we have to reflect, sit down, evaluate what we did in the month of Ramadan and what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the life, what are we going to do with it? There are certain facts that you have to deal with and you have to accept. One of those major facts, it doesn't make any difference how long you're going to live. You're still a guest. Guest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His kingdom. In a part of His kingdom called the planet Earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited you by creating you and giving you the life and giving you the rizq in it. What kind of a guest you will be? You and I behaving as if we are an owner. And that is not a positive attitude. Because we are guests. And we have to be grateful for the kindness and mercy and generosity of our host, the one who invited us to life. So life is not yours. Life is not your right. Right, life is a privilege that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give it to you before or without you ask. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not ask you, or Allah created you without you ask. But if you want His mercy, you must ask. He gives you the life without you ask. He gives you the rizq without you ask. But if you want His satisfaction, you must ask. If you want His rahmah, you must ask. And you must start. So what is Ramadan to you? What is the end of Ramadan to you? Is it an end or it is a beginning? Are you proved in the month of Ramadan that you can promote good and fight evil? You provided evidence that you can say the word no. You can, two of major keys to the shaitan over you, which is the need of your stomach and the biological need, you said no. Now if you can say no to the lawful, the halal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it halal for you, eating and drinking and being with your spouse. Don't you think you are able to say no to the forbiddings? You are. And you proved it. You provided the evidence. So when you go back to it, you are going again by your will. Don't ever come back and say, I've been conquered. Because in this case, you did it by your choice. If you want to improve the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are major milestones. Like I said earlier, whatever you do, it's going to have to be in three areas. Either, وَلَيَازُ بِاللَّهِ, if you want to go to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or your plan is supposed to be to deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you going to do about the acts of disobedience? Some of the disobedient, we got used to doing to the point that we do them without even feeling. And it came out to be, it is okay to do. Or it is a minor thing to do. Or it is nothing. This is not, who told you that? تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنْ وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You think it is very small or very minor or it has no value. But in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is great. Which one of us can drink from a big tank of milk? He know that it doesn't have, or somebody put one drop of poison in it. I'm not just saying container. I'm saying a big tank of milk or water, and you know somebody put one single drop of poison in it. Would you drink it? So we don't need to poison our deed. And it is not smart to keep putting milk or putting water in that tank. You have to clean the tank, purify the tank. And that's what the month of Ramadan is all about, is to help you out to purify that tank. So you can be the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah mercy will reside in that tank, which is called your heart. To purify your heart, which that's the beginning. Because sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Muhammad, he said, at-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna. And he pointed to his chest, to the heart, three times. So, whatever your starting point is going to have to be coming up from the heart. For that heart to be healthy and to be clean, you have to purify it. And the first thing you need to do is to learn how to forgive. Regardless, we all interact with each other. Sometimes we are fair, sometimes we are not. And as long as you are living, you're gonna, that's the name of the game, that's life. Purify your heart from envy, from hate, from jealousy, from revenge. Because when you have in your heart envy and jealousy and hate, do you know what you're doing? It is exactly like somebody keep drinking poison, hoping that the one he hates will die. How is that going to work? The least of the harm that you can get from having those things in your heart, the least, that you are absent-minded, absent-hearted about zikrillah tabarak wa ta'ala. The time you wasted thinking how they did that to me, how I'm going to get back to them, how dare they do that to me, and all of that. That time you could have said, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You could. So learn how to forgive. Forgiveness, they are two kinds. Forgiveness for somebody in front of you violated some of your right. And this, you are required. You are very highly promoted to forgive. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهَ لَكُمْ If you like Allah to be forgiven to you, you forgive others. The second type, which is there are a violation to Allah's rights, not your rights. And for those things, forgiveness is not required. Forgiveness is not recommended. But what is recommended is what? وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقَصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Some people abuse the word forgiveness and they take advantage of it. And if they know there's going to be a consequence, bad consequence to what they do, they will stop. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained that in legislation. You and I have no right to forgive what Allah said it is not. It is up to Him only to forgive or not to forgive. But it is not to me to forgive. When I see somebody committing act of violation to Allah, right, I should take the proper action according to what the Quran and what the Sunnah say. If you are a judge, you apply the law. If you are a regular person like you and me, you can advise that person. You can ask him to correct himself. At least you let him know that what he is doing or what she is doing is wrong. And you can go and digress, and there are steps that you go to, but you cannot go for one till you finish the first one first. You can go up to a silent treatment. Isolate yourself from that person. And if you do that, and I do that, and everybody will do that, that person will get the message. A lot of people do the mistakes knowing that it is okay, or the people will accept them after it. Or when I get sick, I say sorry, and you got away with it. That type of mentality can work between us, can deceive us. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you pay. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. They're only cheating themselves, and they don't even feel it. So purify your heart. Work on your heart. Learn how to forgive. Say, that person hurted me, and I'm going to forgive him. Why? Not because I'm a very kind person. I am in pain from what he or she did. But I'm going to do that as an act of purifying myself, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me. You have to start to change. The second, you have to learn to deal with the most valuable assets in your life. And I'm going to keep calling them the most valuable assets in our life. After al-Iman billah, the most valuable assets that you have, they are your parents. Our obligation to our parents do not end by their death. Our obligation to our parents end by our death. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. That means as long as you are alive, you are required to be kind to them, even if they are tens of years in their graves. You have to be kind to them. You have قُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless their soul, to forgive their sin, to do charity on their behalf. There is a lot of things to do. Learn how to invest in the most valuable assets that you have in your life. In the month of Ramadan, you started things that you did not do before. Ramadan, we agreed it is a starting point. It is not just an occasion. Some of us started to do more prayer, Salat al-Taraweeh. Some of us, they start to do zikr, Qiraat al-Quran. Some of us, they did charity. Some of us, they did a lot of things. Some of us stopped doing things. It is a time to be consistent. The Siyam, it wasn't the month of Ramadan. Islam does not ask us to fast all the year. But you can maybe start to consider and think about fasting once a month, or once a week, or twice a week, like Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you keep وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْ يَعْمَلُ الْعَامِلُونَ وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْ يَتَنَافَسَ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Compete with whom? With yourself. You started to do two rak'ahs after the Isha. You did eight rak'ahs, a minimum. You did 20. Some they went to more. May Allah bless all and accept from all. How about if you designate only two? And you say, that's it. Before the Shafa wal Watr, I started the month of Ramadan. I'm going to revive the month of Ramadan. And I'm going to do these two rak'ah that I used to do in Ramadan. You can do that. Whatever you did, you started in the month of Ramadan, please do not stop. Don't stop what you started in the month of Ramadan. Maybe you can reduce it, or maybe you can increase it. It's up to you. No one know your circumstances better than you. No one going to ask you to pray 50 or 60 or 100 rak'ah and you leave your work. Or you be all night up so you cannot wake up in the morning to go to your work and earn your living. No one going to ask you to do that. Islam does not ask us to do that. But whatever, measure and be honest with yourself. And compete with yourself. You proved, yes, I can do it. And yes, I can say no. So you can, inshallah, go ahead. And you can, whatever you started in the month of Ramadan, keep it alive. You know what you started in the month of Ramadan. I will highly recommend the most common ones that we did, Salatul Taraweeh and Qira'atul Quran. If you are that busy or that tired, wallahi, if you open only the Quran and look at it, just to look at it, there is a barakah and there is a sawab. But don't abandon. There are Sayyidina Muhammad complaining, one complained, and if we feeling it cuts our heart, us, Ya Rabbi, inna qawmi ja'alu haza al-Qur'ana mahjura. We are not the one who will abandon Quran. We are the one who committed ourselves to make the Quran alive, to live by the Quran, and get the Quran inside us. You cannot abandon the Quran. Open the Quran if you are that tired. Say just even the beginning of the Alif Lam Mim Sadaqallahu Al-Azim. Enough. If you are that tired. But build an established habit. And we all know Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi afdal as-salatu wa afdal as-salam, his blessing be upon him. He said, khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'ana wa 'allama. The best among you is the one who learned the Qur'an and turned out to teach. You need to know what is you when you say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. You need to know what is your obligation to that Quran. Okay, I want to make one point clear. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, half of it is a declaration. The second half of it is a signing contract. The first part is a declaration. I hereby declare that there is no deity worth worshipping but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hereby declare that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah. That's a half of it. That's the declaration. Is it? Is it only the declaration that it works? No. If it is only the declaration what it works, Fir'aun before he died, he said what? I believe now by the God of Bani Israel. He did believe. He did the declaration. What is Shaitan said? وَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأَغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. By your mighty and your glory. Is that a declaration or not declaration? It is a declaration. Definitely it is a declaration. But what you and me need to understand, the declaration by its own self is just a focal point. When I come and they say it is a sunny day, is that going to change anything? It is a sunny day anyway. When I say la, la ilaha illallah, is that going to change anything? It is la ilaha illallah anyway. When I say Muhammad Rasulullah, is that going to change anything? It's not going to change anything because Muhammad is Rasulullah. And as much as people fought against that concept, as much as science and others and scholars coming right back, non-Muslim I'm talking about, came back to prove it. That's not the point. The point is, where is the second half? The second half of the declaration of the faith is this. When you say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, you are, the second part is the signing of that contract by having, I am accepting the obligations of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And what are those obligations? They are major ones. Number one, the declaration. I am not going to hide that I am a Muslim. I'm not going to change my name. I am going to be started to be a Muslim. I want everybody to know that I am a Muslim. The declaration. Second, do your best to learn. And do your best to apply. No one ask anyone to be a scholar. وَمَا أُتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. But whatever you learn, commit yourself and apply. If everyone single day, we know what is right and what is wrong, and we apply it, you have a 360 new concept or idea or principle, you learn it. But you have to commit yourself. Number three, propagation. When you said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you said I am taking the task of propagating. I am the one who gonna take the message of Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam wal Quran, and I'm gonna distribute that. I'm gonna make it available to other people. I will never enforce anybody. I will never intimidate anybody. I will never push anybody. I will never try to deceive anybody to believe. But my job in propagation is to make sure that whomever asks for it will have it available to him. He doesn't have to think about it. Having the word negative profile about Islam, that can show you the deficiency in our commitment to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Because we didn't meet people, a lot of people, a lot of learned people, they don't know what that is. And the best way of propagation, is your behavior as a Muslim. Remember, Arabs, and during the last 14 or 1500 years, getting about to 1500 years, their percentage in the Muslim population never hit 17%. They are all the time in the range between 13 to 17. That means the majority of the Muslim Ummah, they are what? They are not Arabic speaking people. You have all the Far East, which represent like Malaysia, Indonesia, and all of these areas, they were converted to Islam and there is no one single soldier landed in these areas. How Islam got spread there? By the behavior of the merchant. That they, the way that they dealt in the market, when they got married, they dealt the way that they kept their homes, the way they treated their native wives, the way that they raised their children. That's what converted others to Islam. Your behavior is the best ambassador to Islam. When you try to mimic others, when you try to change your character, when you try to be like others, I'm not going to say if that's right or wrong. I'm going to leave that up to you to judge. But you committed yourself to a certain things. And make no mistake about it, I don't mean the way you dress. The way you dress doesn't mean anything to me. It never did and it will never do. What's in your heart and how you treat others, that's what it counts. You can be the best ambassador to Islam. The best ambassador to Islam by the way you behave, by your honesty. And that's the third commitment. The fourth commitment, to protect. To protect Islam. Protecting Islam is not means bearing arm is the last and the minor resort that you have to go to protect. You protect Islam starting in your heart by making sure that what you read and what you understand and what you apply is the right and correct information. You don't follow anybody. A lot of time we hear a lot of wonders and people say, I heard that. Somebody told me. I read it somewhere. I heard. Listen, it is your neck, not his or hers. You verify and verify and verify. You protect Islam in your heart. You protect Islam in your family. And the best way, I know that the khutbah time is limited, but inshallah this will be expanded in the series of the family. The best way to protect your home is that you be a role model to your family. And to let everybody in your family know that your own role model is Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when they grow and to be adult, their job is to take Sayyidina Muhammad as a role model. That means you are only step, one single step between them and between Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your job is to be the role model to what that is till they are mature and able, and now you direct them. And here is Sayyidina Luqman, Ya Bunay, La Tushrik Billah. He's not saying, mimic what I do. We know Luqman, Allah called him Al-Hakim. He did not say, be like me, or do what I do. But he said what? La Tushrik Billah. Do not commit a shirk. And after that, protect Islam in your community and in your neighborhood and in your nation. وَدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةُ الْحَسَنَةِ. Meet with your neighbor. Be, get involved in the civil work. Let everybody know the kindness and the mercy of Islam and how Islam changed. How Islam can fight the drug problems. How it can fight a lot of alcohol problems. How Islam can fight a lot of broken homes problems. Who will do that? And for the people out there, you have a hypocrite, you have a munafiqeen, you have a mushrik, you have everybody, and you have people misinforming. Who will inform those? That's all protection to Islam. Who will do this job if the Muslim will not do it? Who will do it if you are not doing it? So the La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is not only a declaration, but La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is a contract. Contract got four major items in him. And actually they are five. And the last and the final part of that contract, it says, Rabbana. Rabbana, that means what? Seeking help all the time from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to do good, you seek help from Allah. If you want to do bad, أَوَلَعَيْزُ بِاللَّهِ, if you want to stay away from bad, seek help from Allah. اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا رب. I see how Allah gonna make it easy. And when you work for Allah, you work by the mighty of Allah. And when you work for yourself, you only have the limitation of yourself. So let us be the custodian. Coming out of the month of Ramadan, let us revive in our heart La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Because this is the beginning of a new era in your life till next year. Inshallah, if you live to next Ramadan, you're gonna re-evaluate, what did I do? What did I fulfill out of this contract, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and which things I can do better. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing. And forgive all our sin, all our shortcomings, all our mistakes. And give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply him in our life. So we can live in peace and die in peace. And inshallah in the hereafter we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companions of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. For working out all of this, I'm gonna come up with the question. For doing all of this, I need to study first. I need to sit down first. I need to do that. I need to do this. And I don't have a time. I can't work. There are hundreds of excuses and challenges that you face and I face. And this is my message to my brothers that I love dearly, that they think that only the Kalima Tayyibah, when they say kalima tayyiba, that means they have the Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying what? Laysa bi'amaniyukum wala bi'amaniya ahlul kitab. Not according to your wishes and not according to the wishes of ahlul kitab. Because before you, there are nations. They claimed that they are the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are the one who going to live in paradise. But they did not fulfill the contract. ليس بأمانيكم ولا بأماني أهل الكتاب. And don't do the same mistake and come claiming by just word came out of your mouth and everything you do and you say in your life in a complete contradiction of what you do, you think that gonna do what? Gonna fulfill your goal. No. تلك أمانيهم. This is their dreams, their wishes. And unfortunately, this dream and wishes has nothing to do with reality. Because what does reality say? وَلَا يَنَالَهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَلَا يَنَالَهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍّ عَظِيمٍ لَا يَنَالَهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. That means the one who put the perseverance. Perseverance against what? Have you ever heard about somebody very patient against something that he likes? He enjoy? No. Perseverance, patience, we need against what? To discipline and to accept the hardship. That it will help us to develop. ولا إله إلا ذو حظ عظيم. And I hope that we all will be among them. I want to finish the khutbah by saying and remind myself and remind you, إِنَّ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَإِنَّ سَعْيَهُ لَسَوْفَ يُرَى. You only get the consequence of what you do. And what you do, it will be very thoroughly evaluated. That's the challenge that you have and I have. No privileges. The only privilege that you have, they are the hayah, the life, that's a privilege. And the rizq is a privilege. But other than that, you have to work hard. You have to wake up. And Allah wake us up in the month of Ramadan. And I hope inshallah we will take it. And we will be grateful for this wake up call that Allah gave us. And we will commit ourselves to be a better Muslims. Why? To answer the questions about knowledge. Knowledge is not the key of a good Muslim. And I want to repeat my statement so no one will make mistake about it. Knowledge is not the key of a good Muslim. The knowledge of the good Muslim is whatever knowledge they possess, they turn out to apply. Sahaba turn out to be Sahaba. And they made a history. Some of them, they died before even the completion of the revelation of the Quran. Before they having the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam written. But they were Sahabi. Why? Whatever they learned, that was the key. The key for what they got. Is whatever they learn, they are consistently driving for learning. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them, they go right into it and apply it. And I'm going to give example. I hope that the khutbah is not going to be much longer for the Sahaba. It is not an issue of knowledge, but it is an issue of implementation. When the revelation of Tahrim of Al-Khamr, it came. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, He said, هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Are you going to stop? Allah made it forbidden. When this ayah revealed, next day when it was announced and everybody knew that it came forbidden, everybody went inside because drinking was like water, that part of their culture. They went and they got everything related to alcohol. Right in, broke it right into the street. هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear, we obey. We did not say, let us check with the doctor first. We need to do a gradual descent. We need to go to and call alcohol synonymous to stop. هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Are you going to stop? Yes. Why? Because I am committed لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. And if I'm not going to do it, no one else will do it. That's how the, if you want to do it, you have to go back. Please go back. Look at three major areas. Key and zoom on what you are doing wrong. We do not have the luxury of saying this is a minor mistake or this is a minor sin. Sin is a sin. Clean it up. The second part of what we're supposed to focus on, whatever Allah ordained on us, make sure that you are doing it. A lot of people doing zakah, doing salah, but when it comes down to zakah, keep going. And you think I'm doing something minor. No, you are not. Third, go to the area of ihsan. And the area of ihsan, just for our purpose, for our khutbah, the ihsan here is what you are by your own heart. Something extra that you would like to do to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. to appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do. So you do it from your heart. You are not obligated to do. You are not obligated to do two rak'ahs other than the ordinary, the obligated prayer. But if you are doing, you are doing something ihsan. You are doing it out of your heart. And listen to what that is. Listen, please. There are the deeds. Deeds, and especially the second one and the first category and the second category. This is where your trial is. This is where the account is. There is where the reward and punishment is. But look at number three, which is al-ihsan. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying about it. وَهَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ وَهَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. If you did anything extra for me, it's not going to be rejected. It's not going to be rejected. وَلِيَزُوا بِاللَّهِ. There is a lot of things that we do. And I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His mercy will accept. But when you get to the area of ihsan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَهَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. If your heart is for me, whatever that little is, whatever that is, you will be, inshallah, have the return and have the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The trip of life is not granted. Maybe this is my last khutbah. Allahu A'lam. Don't take it for granted. Behave as if you're going to die now. And settle your account with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the time comes. And before the sakratul maut comes, where you cannot say anything. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness. Allahumma aghfir lana zunubana wa kaffir anna akhtaana wa tub alayna ya rabbal alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive all our sin, all our mistakes, all our shortcomings. And give us af, give us blessing. عباد الله قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة. قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.